The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
You might have seen this story in the newspapers this morning. The government expected to accept a proposal to join what is described as an EU military initiative. It will see Ireland work with other EU nations, they say, to help protect our seabed infrastructure against sabotage. What does this actually mean, and what does it mean for our military neutrality? Mark Price is with me. He's co-chair of the Irish anti-war movement and a founding member of the Irish Neutrality League, and Gerard Crockwell, the independent senator as well. You're both very welcome, as Thank always. Senator, is this a good move on behalf of the government?
This is a great move. This is a move that will protect our economies, the economies of Europe. The undersea infrastructure carries not just communications, but every piece of data that travels east-west. People will argue that the cables are belong to private companies, but they carry your email, they carry my email, they carry our banking details, they carry everything we possibly need. Those cables, if they were struck in the morning and knocked out of action, would cripple the economy of this country in a nanosecond. It is vitally important, and I've been advocating for some time that we set up what I would call an Atlantic fleet to look after infrastructure, critical infrastructure for the state. It's not just cables, we also have, not just data cables, we also have electricity, we also have gas coming through the seabed. It is vitally important that we protect those issues. And there is absolutely no threat whatsoever to our neutrality. Neutrality is greatly misunderstood in this country, so it is. And, one of the things I asked the Taoiseach at a recent joint Oireachtas committee was to provide a memorandum for members of the Oireachtas so as they would understand what were the requirements of neutrality. And moreover, I asked that that memorandum would include Articles 24, 25 and 42, I think it is, of the European Charter, which would explain the issue of Shannon and US aircraft landing in Shannon. Because we have people talking about these things, but they don't understand the requirements under international law.
Well, I know you're not talking about Mark Price is with me. Mark, the critical nature of this infrastructure, as Gerard outlines, is that reason enough for us to sign up to this initiative?
No, all of these cables are owned by companies who make money out of us as customers. And it's just no different from any other private companies that their infrastructure is their responsibility to maintain. Why we should pick up the bill, any part of the bill for the maintenance of that. The purpose, first of all, the certain number of the cables come near Ireland. Quite a few of them come through our exclusive economic zones. But it would take an absolutely massive attack to do the kind of damage that Gerard has just referred to. And who is it that we are told is going to be doing this attack? Well, of course we know who it is. Time and again, we have reports of suspicious Russian activity off our coast. And it's these things always turn out to be red herrings. I can give you I have an example here, brilliant one I picked up from last year from the RTE website, where it was afterwards, way down the article, it's admitted that bad weather had driven these ships into Irish waters or near Irish waters. This all has its origins in the Nord Stream explosion of, do you remember, of early 2022. Mm. No one knows who did that. It's a complete mystery in some ways, but the most authoritative conclusion so far has been by Der Spiegel in the Washington Post of November last year. Almost certainly, can't say for certain, done by a rogue Ukrainian general called Chervinsky, who's now in prison in Ukraine. Why would the Russians want to blow up a pipeline which they owned most of and which they were gaining most from? But of course, the Ukrainians had huge reason to blow it up because it was the first time that Russian gas didn't have to go through Ukraine.
But did these cables off the Irish coast or through our exclusive economic zone or whatever, your argument essentially is we don't need to worry about them. They're not under threat.
My argument is that if they're under threat in the way that any piece of the world is under threat by terrorists or by saboteurs. But my argument is that if you look at how this is covered in the media, it is almost exclusively in terms of suspicious Russian vessels in the waters, and that there is no basis for believing that they are a threat to our undersea cables.
Okay, Senator, 2 points there, I guess. Are the Russians a threat to our undersea cables? And the first point actually Mark makes as well, that maybe these are critical infrastructure, but they're not national infrastructure. They're privately owned. They might be critical to Google or Facebook or somebody else. Let them protect it.
Okay, let's deal with the privately owned cables. Sever those cables, and by the way, most of them could already have explosives set on them to be triggered at any time. Knock out that line
of
communication.
There's no evidence of that now.
Well, no, I'm saying you can do that if you want. I'm not saying it has been done. You can do that.
I could win the marathon.
Knock out that line
of
communication.
It's not going to happen.
And we won't have a news talk. We go to switch on our TV set. We don't have TV. We don't have MRI scanners in our hospitals. Every single piece of data, whether IT or OT, that is dependent upon cyber communications is lost, and lost in a nanosecond. We saw what happened with the health service executive, or sorry, the health services, when we were hit with a cyber attack. People died as a result of that. These cables, privately owned or not, carry the economy of the world. And at the end of the day, we as people who value our economy have an obligation to look after those cables. And we need to be able to do that independently. Unfortunately, we're not able to do it because of disinvestment over generations. So now we are a lame duck joining an already capable fleet. But it's good that we're doing that.
One of these texters says, can you tell Mark that the Gardaí respond to private businesses when they have a break-in, and they do so because that's the responsibility of a mature and modern state?
That's a fair enough point, and I take that one. There is some responsibility of the state for infrastructure that passes through the territory in which the state is responsible, obviously. But these cables clearly extend way beyond the jurisdiction of the state. And therefore, our responsibility is something I can't deny. But the way in which it's being used politically is what I'm interested in. It is being used politically again and again by Micheál Martin and certain others to ramp up, to inflate the threat of Russia in order to involve us in these permanent structured cooperation, European Defence Agency, etc., etc., all of which has a ultimately corrosive effect, Jared, on our neutrality, because they're death by a thousand cuts.
Now that you're here, I'd love you to define what our neutrality is, because I've heard so many people speak about it. What is it? Define neutrality for me today.
It can't be defined simply. There are many different versions of neutrality.
One under Haig.
Well, no, let Mark, when you answer the question, let Mark answer it.
Ireland simply could never have been neutral under Hague, because we didn't, when the Hague Convention, as you know, was agreed, Ireland wasn't in a position to join it. We weren't independent. Our neutrality is not defined anywhere. It's a practice. It's a type of convention. It's taken many forms. And the form that we, as in the anti-war movement Neutrality League, focus upon is the form that was taken by someone like Frank Aiken, after the Second World War. By the way, the Russians, as you know, tried to stop us joining the United Nations, succeeded for some time because they were so disgusted at our neutrality during the Second World War, because they had sacrificed so much to defeat the Nazis. But nonetheless, we used that neutrality to sue for peace, to lead the world's, the United Nations in nuclear non-proliferation, peacemaking and peacekeeping.
Ah, come on, Mark. I mean, let's be honest about it. We serve, for example, in peacekeeping operations all over the world. We serve with the Poles. We serve with the Finns. We serve with NATO countries. We train with NATO. We don't have a problem with that. It is not in any way compromising our neutrality.
Absolutely.
What's compromising our neutrality, and by the way, I am a neutrality convicted person. I believe this country should be big enough and strong enough to be neutral, properly neutral, to have a defence force that would be capable of guarding our country, to invest in defence in this country. That is my vision of neutrality. And people say, oh, well, what about the hospitals and what about the houses if you spend money on defence? Finland, a country roughly the same size as ours, with economy roughly the same size as ours, manages to build hospitals, have great education systems, build houses, no homelessness in Helsinki, and they just have a big nasty neighbour that they have to look after. And at the end of the day, we have to mature as a nation. We have to stand up to the plate, take our place in society, be a proud neutral country, not, and I hate to use the term, but I've been using it all the time lately, not paddy neutrality, because paddy neutrality is some sort of, we're not aligned with anybody. And then,
okay, now I want to go back to Mark on some of those points. Do you agree that we should invest in the defence forces and increase the defence budget so that we don't have to enter these types of EU military initiatives?
No problem in principle. I realise there's serious problems of underfunding in the defence forces. I have no problem in that. That isn't the issue that I have. The issue I have is joining imperialist organizations like NATO or the European Defence Agency, which pretends to be a peacekeeper just like NATO, but isn't. The EDA was formed in 2004.
In what way is the European Defence Agency imperialist? Where is their empire?
Well, they're strategically placed in relation to NATO in order to provide a so-called European independent force. But they were formed, I mean...
What country has the EDA or NATO taken over?
NATO has been marching eastwards for 1,000 miles since 1990. And that doesn't take over countries. The imperialism, the only form of imperialism isn't aggressive. Imperialism, Kieran, you must admit, can involve placing outreach, defence bases, so-called defence, offensive missile silos, military installations. That's all part of imperialism. The only imperialist action is not limited to aggressive defence or rather aggressive capture of territory. So NATO is an imperialist, and the EDA is. It was formed following lobbying by the arms industry. We know this, that Airbus EADS at the time boasted of that it was their baby.
Well, listen, strong views coming in on the text line. We're at war with Russia and we don't admit it. We're in a very precarious position regarding our defence. Russia doesn't respect our neutrality, says one listener. And another says, what's Senator Crockwell on about? News Talk is broadcast from Dublin, not New York. We'll be fine without those undersea cables. 087 1400 106. Gentlemen, thank you both very much for your time.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.